Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of the Plus 3 Podcast of Nerdiness. I'm Evan.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Ryan.
And we're here to bring you all things nerdy. So we're really excited about today's episode. I've been dying to record this one for the last 2 weeks now. We are going to be going over all things Gen Con. Derek and I went to Gen Con, and we got back last Sunday, week and a half ago, whatever it was. And since then, I've just been wanting to get together with these guys and talk about all the things that we did and all of the news that we got. And there's a lot of really cool stuff. So I'm really looking forward to this one. Before we do that, I have a couple things I want to say. First of all, I apologize if you can hear any thunder in the background. There is currently a storm going on at my house. So it's a little loud. I'm going to try to make sure we can't hear that. But if there's a loud burst of thunder.
Braving the elements to bring you all the nerd news.
Yep, that's what I do. And second of all, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who's been listening. We saw a huge jump in downloads and everything like that since our last episode. Like, we shot up like 100 downloads. We're up well over 1,000 downloads now. And so we appreciate all the new listeners, and we hope you guys are enjoying the podcast so far. And we appreciate everybody who's shared with their friends, and we hope you continue to do so. So thanks again. We couldn't do this without you, and we love being able to bring you all the news and everything. So let's go ahead and get started then. Ryan, what have you been up to since the last episode?
Yeah, since the last episode, I think I maybe mentioned this last time, I did not go to Gen Con. But in the spirit of buying games that I may or may not need, I did buy Kenny G Keeping It Sexy, which I did talk about, and I think I read the little preview for last week during my update or news. I don't remember, but I'm really excited to play it. I wanted to play with my wife's family this weekend. We kind of did some family things, and I never got to bring it to the table, which I was kind of bummed about. But
Kenny G would not be pleased.
He would not be pleased. I did not help him through his rough day, and I probably made him lose his groove. So,
oh no.
I know. I don't want, and his luscious locks are all tangled, and it's all my fault.
It's a mess.
It is. He's a mess right now, and I need to save him. but what I did get to do is I did get to hang out with Derek and Sid, and we played a few games. Some of them were Gen Con purchases. I think all of them were Gen Con purchases, weren't they, Derek?
Indeed, they were.
They were. So we played Point Salad, which I think we've kind of mentioned before, Encore, and Cartographers. And I know, and I'd actually forgot that I'd played Cartographers with you two, I think on Tabletopia when it was in like a preview.
Yes. Yep.
And it was a lot of fun. I know Bree was not thrilled with Cartographers. I think she liked the idea of making maps when she heard about the game, but in execution, it was not what she expected it to be.
She put on a brave face.
She did put on a brave face. I do think I could get her to play again now that she knows what to expect, but it might have to wait just a little bit, so...
Hopefully someday we
can get there.
How did that compare to playing digitally? I mean, I suppose it's because of it's like a drawing game. It's probably more fun, right?
It is more fun drawing, but I'll say my map looked a lot prettier on the computer.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I wish I had like colored pencils or markers for that one too.
Oh, that would be good idea.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, I'll get to that a little bit later. I don't want to spoil my update.
I don't want to ruin your update either. And then as far as Board Game Arena goes, we've been playing a few of the similar games that we've been playing already. But we also started playing Stone Age, which is a game, I don't know, one of you two, I think, maybe mentioned, I'd never heard of it. And it's an older worker placement game. And it's been a lot of fun. I don't know. What do you two think about it?
I love it. It is an old worker placement game, you're right, and it has consistently stayed in the top 10 on Board Game Geek for years, which is a pretty good sign of a good game that it has that much staying power with all the flashy new games coming out.
Right. Yeah, I like it too. I like the little twist on it that I'm sure other games have done since then, but that everybody goes through and places their workers, before anybody takes any of the actions. And then it goes after all the workers are placed, and it goes through and does like the action step. So there's a little bit of planning that goes on there. Like if I see, I don't know, a card that I want to buy with resources that I don't have yet, I can still put a worker down and try to block somebody else from getting it, and then hope that I get the resources later, because the resources are all dice based and there's things you can do to modify that. But there's always a chance that I won't get the resources that I need. So there's a little bit of a gamble there, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, I would agree. I really like that aspect of it, where you can kind of plan out what you, I mean, you can plan a turn at a time. And like you said, if you don't have the resources, you can try and acquire them. And I've noticed that that's been your strategy so far, is to take some gambles and try and block moves.
I haven't been burnt too bad yet. We'll see what happens.
And then I would say I saw this at Derek's FLGS, and I was tempted to buy the anniversary edition, but I restrained myself. I'm going to wait and see if I can find it on sale online, or maybe his local store will have it on sale at some point and he'll let me know and be a gem and buy it for me, and then I'll pay him back.
Yeah, I could probably do that.
Okay. And then my last bit of update, I am in the middle of a Star Wars rewatch. I don't know. I feel like with all the new movies, like the guy, I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy that came out with the Machete Order said on no uncertain terms would he ever include the new movies in the Machete Order. He sounds like one of those Star Wars fanboys that doesn't like any of the new movies at all. So I kind of threw the Machete Order out the window, and I made my own version. And the order I'm watching them is Rogue One, and then it's New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, Solo, Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens, and then The Last Jedi. And then I'm leaving The Phantom Menace out on purpose, because I find, for me personally, it really makes the prequel story weird with the love story between Anakin and Padme, and it just freaks me out, and I can't do it.
Fair enough. We have too many things to cover this episode.
I don't want to get into it. I'll save it for another episode, but I just wanted to throw that in there as to why you did not see Phantom Menace in that list. And I'm currently at Solo. So I spent a weekend kind of cleaning when Brie was gone. And I have really watched a lot of Star Wars.
Nice. I wish.
So that's kind of, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I wish that I could like forget Star Wars and go back and watch in this order. And again, we probably can't get into it too much, but I think there's a lot to be said about this order. Like, it changes some of the twist and stuff like that. But can you imagine that you don't know that Luke and Leia are brother and sister going into Empire Strikes Back, right? And then you watch the prequels, and then when the baby, like, you hear Padme's pregnant with twins, and you're like, oh, what? And then you find out that she names them Luke and Leia, and that's like when that twist gets revealed to you. That would be pretty good, I think. So
I think awesome. It would be too.
But you have, I no, I'm sorry. You've left out one of the best villains in the history of Star Wars, Ryan.
I know. Well, here's my caveat. If I was good with video editing, I would take out the only good parts of the Phantom Menace, which would be the pod race and the Darth Maul duel.
All right, moving on.
Sorry, I could go on all day. I apologize for even bringing it up. Derek, what have you been up to?
Well, I'm working on a new book on my Kindle, Loving the Kindle. I'm reading Circe by Madeline Miller, which is set in Greek mythology. It's the story of the Titan witch from the Odyssey, who's on the deserted island that they find, and then they're turned into pigs. But it is kind of it's not alternate history, because mythology isn't history, I guess, but it is kind of an alternate history. She kind of just writes about Circe and how she's involved in all of these different events from mythology, which is really neat. Kind of like inserts herself into all these different things. The Minotaur is a big one. Just different events, with Daedalus and Icarus, and she's involved in that. And there's just a lot. It's really neat, because I love Greek mythology. It's a really good read. I'm about halfway through and really enjoying it. right before leaving for Gen Con, my Power Rangers Heroes of the Grid Kickstarter arrived. I'm very ashamed to say that with all the craziness, I haven't even had time to take it out of the shrink yet. So hopefully when I get time for that, you will hear more about it. I played some Gen Con games with Sid. We played Encore, King Domino Duel, and Wordsmith. So Encore is a nice little roll and write. It just super fun, super simple. Evan, you played this one with me at Gen Con. King Domino Duel would be the, we talked about that a little bit, is the roll and write version of King Domino. And then Wordsmith was a game I was very excited about. I thought Sid would really enjoy it. You have all these little pieces that you're trying to build words out of, trying to build the letters. And we started playing, and 30 seconds in, she goes, "I hate this. I'm so stressed out. I hate this."
That's not a good sign.
It was because you're like racing to build words, and we were playing one-on-one, which is like super aggro. And I was like, "Oh, I got this word. I got this word." And she's like, "Nope, we're done. This is stressing me out too much." So Wordsmith was a miss. The other two were hits. She loves Encore. She's already bought the app on her phone.
She really sharked us when we played, by the way.
She's really good at it. So so 2 out of 3 ain't bad, so that's okay. Then I got to play Everdell with Ryan. So spoiler alert, I was able to snag Everdell at Gen Con as well as the expansion, Pearlbrook. And this was like the game that I wanted from Gen Con, and I am so thrilled with it. It is gorgeous. It plays so well. The art and the components themselves are worth the price tag, and then you get a great game mixed into it. Ryan, what did you think of Everdell? I know I've talked a lot about this game, but what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. Sometimes Derek talks up games, and I'm not always on board. The one that stands out to me, and we'll kind of talk about this in the news a little bit, is Euphoria, which I actually just learned reading the news is a Stonemaier game. I had no idea. But anyway, not to go on a bunny trail. That was one Derek was really excited for me to play, and I didn't like it that much. So I was hoping it wasn't going to be another repeat of that. And I loved Everdell. It was a lot of fun. The art, like you said, the components, just the kind of, you're playing against each other, but you don't really, it's not very aggro. So, I mean, you're not really that opposed to what's going on. It's just kind of trying to block each other from making some moves.
Right. It's the places that you're playing your workers. It's the slots that you can fill up. But the cool thing is, like, you start off and you only have 4 workers, and you only get to collect your workers, I think, 2 times. And then, like, it's only like 3 seasons. So it's like, whoa, this is going to be a really short game. But once you start building, buildings and creatures into your town, they all combo off of each other, and you just are continuing to take turn after turn after turn without really having to play your workers if you built a nice little engine and tableau in front of you. And yeah, there's so much to this game, and I want to play it again right now. I also want to play the expansion, but I don't want to do a disservice to the base game because there's so much to explore there. But yeah, this I absolutely love it. This has jumped way up there for me as far as my like top games lists go. And yeah, I'm really excited to get it to the table again. And then finally, I got all of my Roll and Write sheets laminated. So I bought a bunch of Roll and Write games at Gen Con. And you might be thinking, wow, it's lame. You're excited about lamination. I am so excited because this means that I don't have to use those stupid little paper, like, tear pads. I have laminated stuff. I can use dry erase markers. I can do colors now. Oh man, this has opened a whole new world for me, and I am very excited about it.
Also very excited. I want to buy you a set of like full size dry erase markers that like are longer than just like a mini tiny little stick.
Oh yeah, we got they're coming from Amazon. I think they're in the mail right now. They're probably in my mailbox right now.
You should let me know which ones you get and if you like them, because I bought some from Target and I don't like them.
Oh no.
Oh no.
We got like Expo ones. Like, they're the high quality stuff. They were on sale for like $5. So nice. Yeah, I'll let you know. All right. Well, that does it for my updates. Evan, why don't you tell us what you've been up to?
All right. Well, for me, the biggest thing was Gen Con, and we will talk all about that shortly. But a couple things that I've done since returning from Gen Con, I also broke out some of my new games. My wife and I played Point Salad and Welcome To, and Point Salad went really well. She liked that one. It's pretty quick, pretty simple to get, and she beat me very, very badly. So that always helps too, I think. And then we also played Welcome To, which did not go over quite as well. Luckily, that one has a solo variant, so I can still play that, and I think I have some other friends that would be interested in playing that as well, but my wife did not care for that one as much. I also played, as I mentioned, I played some solo Welcome To, but I also, spoilers, I picked up Era Medieval Age at Gen Con, and I played that solo as well. I'm really liking that game. It's super fun. I'll talk more about it later, but I will say that I don't think I'm very good at it yet. Like, they have a little chart that talks about, well, first of all, I got last place when we played in person, but then they also have a chart that shows you, like, you compare your final score and it tells you how you did, and I'm in like the second to last tier every time I play, so I need to figure out how to get a little bit better at that one. But it is,
well,
very
that has
fun.
A lot of dice to do with it too, so.
It does, but I don't know. Yeah, it does. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. Then I finished Rebels season 3 the other day, and just before we started recording this episode, I started season 4. So I'm looking forward to finishing that up. I mean, we've said it before, I'll say it again. The show is amazing. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. The first season is below the other three seasons. So once you get through that, it gets really good, like on par with Clone Wars. So that's Rebels. Biggest thing for me is, my wife and I got together with the couple we've been playing Pandemic Legacy with, and we finished it this past week. So we were it was quite the ride. We had like 3 months left, and we played last Wednesday, and we finished that month. And then we had 2 months left, and we decided, okay, let's get together this weekend, and no matter what it takes, let's finish the game. So we did on Saturday, and we finished it, and I've said it before. I think it's one of the better board gaming experiences I've had. I know that a lot of people will say the same thing, and I just have to agree with them. I mean, the way that there's a story there, I'm not going to get too into it because of spoilers, but if you have a chance, check it out. It's really fun. And I don't know, the ending for me, like, the last month was kind of weird for me, and while I was playing it, I wasn't like really, really enjoying it, but once it was finished, like, the whole overall experience has been great. So Pandemic Legacy, good stuff. We're trying to decide now if we want to do season 2 or what we're going to do next, but we'll see what comes of that.
Well, you got to shadow box it.
That's, yeah, I know,
the coolest way to display it. You got to do, yeah, it.
I'm trying to figure out the best way to do that. I know we have a listener, right? Sean, you said, does,
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so
everybody, Sean has done it, so reach out, yeah, to him.
All right, Discord. Sean, send me a picture or something. So finally, the last thing is I bought a Learn to Paint set, like miniatures set from Reaper. They make a little starter set. I know, Derek, you have the same set. And the reason why I did that, we will talk about later, but I bought that a couple days ago and painted up the first miniature in that yesterday. So I had a good time with that, a little skeleton guy. Yeah, I'm excited to continue with that. So that is basically it for my update. We're going to go ahead and jump into the news. Now, the news is going to be very short here because we're going to really talk a lot about Gen Con, and there's a lot of news that came out of Gen Con. So we're kind of rolling that news into the Gen Con section, but we do have a couple of non-Gen Con news points here. And so Ryan is going to take us through those. Ryan, you want to go ahead and give us those?
Yeah, I can take you guys through the news here. Little behind the scenes action for you guys, for the listeners. I had to beg Evan and Derek to let me talk about something this week since I didn't go to Gen Con. And so other than getting my peanut gallery comments on Gen Con stuff, I'm going to go through the news here. And then the one big thing that those two had told me about in our thread that we have is Stonemaier Games is announcing a new game called Tapestry, which looks amazing. It is from the design. It's from Jamie Stegmaier designed the game. He's also designed games like Wingspan, Scythe, Viticulture, and Euphoria. I would say Scythe and Viticulture would probably be up there in some of my top favorite games. It's a civilization building game. It includes hand management, tile placement, and then some different variable player power mechanics. And then we will be, the players would be competing to build the best civilization, hence civilization building game, and then advancing on various tracks through science, technology, exploration, and military. The art is it Andrew Bosley? Is that how I pronounce that?
Yep.
Okay. He actually did the art for Everdale, which, if that's the case, I'm very excited. I'm very excited for the artwork on this one. And then it sounds like Jamie's writing some daily diaries, which dive into the development of the game. And then he kind of goes into some detail on the mechanics and decisions that he's made through development. And I've read through them. I think it was Evan that linked it, and it's been very interesting to read. I would recommend finding that, and maybe we can post that up in one of our Discord channels. And then it sounds like, from what we've seen, is that this will be the most expensive game at launch. Do we know the cost yet?
We just know
it will be the most expensive, is all.
Right. We know it'll be more than Scythe, and Scythe's MSRP was 90.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I thought I read somewhere it'd be under 100, which would mean 99, I guess, MSRP would be my guess. Okay. But I could actually see it being higher based on some of the things they've shown. Like, the components look pretty high quality. There's quite a bit to it. Like, there's a central board, and then players have a player board, kind of like Scythe. And I think there's even another component to it. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was even higher than that, but we'll see.
And, oh, wow. And he said it would be, Evan, did he say it would be about a 3 on the complexity scale? Like, Wingspan would be like a 2.5, and Scythe would be a 3.5. So it's going to fall kind of between those two.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not too bad then. That should be pretty readily easy to pick up then. And then pre-orders will be early September. I don't know an official date yet. And it'll be 25,000 copies is what was going to be for the pre-order.
Yeah, so hopefully they have a little bit better luck this time than they did with Wingspan. I know that there was some controversy there, so we'll see what happens with this one.
Let's hope some lessons were learned.
Yeah, I think they were. And I got to say, I mean, again, I feel like we can't give this one the justice it deserves with all the Gen Con talk we have, but I'm really looking forward to this game. I don't know that I'm going to pre-order it, but I'm going to try to play it as soon as I can. I love Stonemaier games. Like, all four that you mentioned there are in my top 10. Well, maybe not Wingspan, but the other ones are in my top 10 for sure. And
yeah.
I like civilization building games, and reading through those diaries, which, yeah, Ryan, I'll make sure we'll have to post that, but it's on the Stonemaier website. Reading through those, it's really interesting, and I'm excited to see where this one goes.
Yeah, I'm definitely very excited. Viticulture, I think, is one of my top games, right next to Istanbul. Just kind of the theme, and it's not too heavy, and you can kind of play. I mean, drinking wine obviously helps while you play the game to go with the theme. But kind of moving on from there, Disney. Thanks, Disney, for buying everything in existence as far as entertainment is concerned. They announced a streaming bundle that includes Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus, and it's going to be $12.99 a month, which, if you're thinking about two of those, you might as well sign up for this, because you might as well get the other one free that you may or may not use, but you have it. That way you have it. And I know Evan has mentioned that he's considered going with this bundle just to get two of them, to get Hulu and Disney Plus.
Yeah,
I wish they would let me bundle my Hulu Live TV with this.
Yeah.
My thoughts exactly. Let me add a $6 add-on for Disney Plus.
And I know the three of us kind of had a thing against ESPN Plus, but I guess if they're going to offer it to me for basically free,
you might as well take it. Yeah. So,
or a buck, I can watch the, like,
what it would end up being, but
yeah, I can watch like two soccer games a year on there that are on there that I otherwise couldn't watch, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more than two. There's a lot more than two on there. There's like two that I'm interested in per year.
I actually think, and I might have to read up on this. This is a little bit of a bunny trail, but I think ESPN might have cut matches for the English leagues, the English league. So I'll have to check on that. Anyway, sorry, that's not nerd related at all. continuing on, now I will introduce Evan and Derek to go through their Gen Con extravaganza. It's not the extravaganza now. It's Gen Con hangover. We have Gen Con hangover.
Yes.
The post-Gen Con blues.
Yeah. I had those bad.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started then. So what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of go through some of the events that we did, and we'll talk about some of the games that we bought, and we'll also talk about some of the other hot games we saw people picking up. And as we touch on some of the events, we'll hit some news that came out of those. There was two events in particular that really gave us a lot of stuff. So we've got a lot to get through here, so let's go ahead and dive in. So Wednesday, the con is generally Thursday through Sunday, but Wednesday night before, Fantasy Flight Games always does their what they call their in-flight report, where they go through all the stuff they have coming up within the next few months or even the early next year. So Derek and I met up on Wednesday along with the rest of our group, and we went into downtown and got in line for the report. And this was the first year either of us have been able to make it, so we're really excited for that. And there was a lot of news coming out of the in-flight report. Derek and I were sitting next to each other, and we were just like, I don't know.
I kept grabbing your arm. Yes. And like aching you.
Yes.
Every time something would be announced.
Yes. So let's go ahead and step through some of those. So the first after we got a really cool like video intro and stuff, the first thing they came out and announced was a new game in the Arkham series, and that is Arkham Horror Final Hour. So this was announced and released at Gen Con. They typically do kind of this surprise release every year, and this was it for this year. So this game takes place in like the Lovecraft or Cthulhu world, and it is a kind of shorter take on Arkham Horror, which I've never played. Have either of you guys played any of the Arkham Horror editions?
Yes. I have always wanted to. It seemed very interesting, but I have never played.
It's a lot. It's hard, and it's a really big, sprawly game. And I've only ever played once, and I've only ever won, so I've retired from Arkham Horror. It's a super easy game. Yeah, it was easy.
I can respect that, though. I respect that. Yeah,
too easy.
Easy.
Yeah. No. It looks fun. It basically is like the last rounds of like a super intense Arkham game or Cthulhu based game. So the tensions are tense, the stakes are high, and I mean it looked kind of fun. A couple people in our group snagged this. They picked it up, and it'll be available like at retailers in the fourth quarter. I don't know. I think everybody in our group liked it, but I heard some mixed reviews coming out of the con about it. I don't know if people are just kind of over the Arkham theme or what, but I did hear some mixed reviews. So we'll see how that one goes.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard to really get a feel because everybody's got their games in bags around the vendor hall. But I actually don't know that I saw a ton of people with this. Maybe that's somewhat the surprise release nature of it, but I don't know. I feel like, you know, you kind of get a sense, and we'll talk about this later, about what some of the hot games are, what like the buzz around the vendor hall. And I didn't really see it with this one. Did you, Derek?
No, I did not.
So I don't know. I mean, if Arkham Horror is your thing, that's definitely something to check out. For me personally, not so much. But moving on, the next thing they talked about is something that I don't know a ton about, but they talked about their Genesis RPG system. Now, I know a little bit because this is the system that they used for their Star Wars RPG. Is that right, Derek?
Yes, it's the same type of system. It's kind of their catch-all system, but this is like it's the same dice. Like it's that storytelling dice.
Right. So it's kind of it's a little bit different than, you know, say D&D where you have modifiers and you roll a d20 and you get a number and add your stuff together. There's a little bit more nuance to it, I guess, with successes and failures and things like that. So I don't know. I thought the system was fun when we played the Star Wars RPG, so I'm kind of interested to see what this expansion looks like. They're talking about bringing it into other IPs, notably, and I was kind of excited for this one, they are bringing the Genesis RPG system into KeyForge. So, or rather, they're bringing KeyForge into the Genesis RPG system, I guess would be the better way to say that. So they're going to release some books or material that talk more about the KeyForge universe. And I don't know, I think the KeyForge universe is kind of cool. Like, I think from an outsider, if you haven't done a lot of looking into it, it kind of seems weird. Like, just, you know, you got your ninja elves and your Martians and your demons all thrown together into a world, but there actually is a little bit of a backstory there, if you take the time to find it and read it. So I'm kind of excited to see where this one goes.
So do we think we'll be playing like as Archons, and then you'll have like an army like with you? Like, do you have like do I have a Brobnar orc or troll with me? Or like, I guess I don't know exactly how that would work.
I don't know either. That's a good question. I would guess you're, I don't know. I feel like you would probably be one of the minions, because I feel like the class system or the race or whatever, you could choose one of the various houses. Seems like it would make sense to me, but I don't know.
We will have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they really gave much of a release date on this. They just kind of teased it. So
yeah,
we'll see what comes
of that.
There's
some pretty pictures, pretty art.
Yeah. All right. Well, next up, and more KeyForge news, we have talked about this on the pod before, but we've got a little bit more details now. They announced, or more like demoed, their GameGenic products. So it seems like this is starting off with, I think GameGenic was going to cover a lot of different things, but it seems like they're starting off with KeyForge. So they showed a few KeyForge deck boxes and what they're calling a vault, which is a bigger box that can hold three KeyForge decks. They have sleeves. They have chain trackers, like acrylic chain trackers. They have more stuff than that too. But the biggest thing for me were the deck boxes. The deck boxes were really, really cool. In fact, I went ahead and bought one at Gen Con because they had them available at the FFG booth. So,
you guys, Evan didn't buy a vault. I tried to tell him, you need to buy a vault. And he said, no, I'm not doing it. And now he has regrets.
Well, at least I bought a deck box, Derek.
Welcome to the post-Gen Con blues.
I'm fine that I didn't buy a deck box. I haven't been getting KeyForge to the table enough lately to justify it, but they're really cool.
Yeah.
Those are some cool deck boxes.
Yeah, they have a couple of different levels of deck boxes. The, I guess, more upper level ones have I'm not sure even how to describe it the best. They have like a magnetic latch that closes the cover, and then the cover has slots for the name of your deck. You can like slide your Archon identity card into the front of it, and it has a slot for the name of the deck and then little holes for the three houses. So you can see just by looking at the deck box which deck is in there. And then the deck fits very nicely. You open up that front cover and the deck fits very nicely in there. So I was really happy with it. I might try to get some more once they come to retailers, which I'm not sure when that's going to be, but probably pretty soon. Next up, more KeyForge news. We got Set 3 announced. So Set 3 is going to be called Worlds Collide, and it's going to be released probably in mid-November. I don't know that they said that definitively, but their schedule has been 6 months per set so far. So November, May, and now I think November again. Makes sense to me. The biggest news coming out of this is that they're going to have two new houses. So set two did not come with any new houses, and people were mixed on that, I guess. I think people are expecting to see new houses, and we've got them. So they kind of teased these on Twitter beforehand. And
I have a story.
Yeah, I was going to say. Derek, why don't you tell us?
Okay, so they teased some pictures of the new house symbols, and the first house, it looks like kind of a little fossil, like a spiral little fossil. It almost reminded me of like Ammonite from Pokemon, but it's a little fossil, and I instantly said, that's dinos. They're gonna do a dino house, and it's gonna be awesome. There's gonna be dinosaurs running everywhere. And I was berated by my Gen Con group. You know who you are. I was berated that's the stupidest thing they'd ever heard. How would they do dinos? That doesn't even look like a dino. That looks like it's a seashell. It's going to be sea people. It's going to be mer people. And I said, fine, whatever, guys. It's dinos. Whatever. Sure, it's going to be sea people. And when they announced the Saurian Republic, which are Roman dinosaurs, I lost it. I got the biggest I told you so. It was great. So, yeah, the Saurian Republic is the first house. And the second house is the Grand Star Alliance, which looks a little bit like Starfleet, a little Star Trek-y. Yeah. So it could be cool. But, yeah, I was pretty pumped about the Saurian Republic.
So how does it feel to be vindicated?
Oh, it felt great. Oh, my God, did it feel good.
I bet.
I thought it was sea people, too. Although I will say I wasn't as hard on you as some of the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm super pumped for this.
Convinced.
Yeah. I think both houses look cool. Ryan, have you got a chance to see these yet?
I have, and nice. I would say that I'd subscribe to Derek's theory. I'm going to retcon a little bit and say that I also thought it was dinos, just so I can be on Team Derek.
There you go.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. It's kind of weird to me, though, because I just finally got my set 2 decks. Thanks, Derek, for buying those for me out of the vending machine at Gen Con. And I opened those when I got home. I'm now a Dis person, apparently. Each one of my decks has Dis. I got 3, just to...
Did you get any shadow decks?
No shadow, just Dis, okay. And a lot of Brobnar.
Oh, cool. I love Brobnar.
So, yeah, me too. So it should be kind of some fun combos.
Yeah, so side note, they had a vending machine for Keyforge decks at Gen Con, which was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you guys sent a picture in our chat, so that way I could say, yes, please buy me some.
All right, so a little bit more wrapping up this Keyforge news. The way that they're going to do it is they're actually rotating out the Sanctum and Mars houses. So those will not exist in set 3, but the FFG director, I can't think of his name right now, he stressed that they would be returning in the future. So they'll be doing some sort of rotation every set, it sounds like. So all in all, I don't get to play Keyforge as much as I'd like to, but I am excited for this set. I think new houses are going to switch it up. I've actually seen there's an article up. They have some more mechanics and keywords and stuff coming in too, so I think it'll be fun. Keep the game fresh. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I'm gonna toss it back to Derek for this next one, because as excited as I am about the next couple things, I think Derek is a little more excited than me. So Derek, take it away.
All right, well, so we get to towards the end of the Fantasy Flight announcements, and they go, all right, take a look at this, and a video comes up, and it's a Fantasy Flight video, and all of a sudden it changes over and it says Marvel, and everybody in the arena just goes, oh. And we finally got what I didn't know I needed, but now I absolutely need. And that is it's called Marvel Champions LCG. So we finally have a Marvel living card game, and Fantasy Flight has snagged the Marvel IP. So this looked really neat. They had demos running, the whole con. We never actually got to play, but we got to listen a little bit. You will only need a single core set. It's a change from the usual way they've done LCGs in the past. So in some of them, you know, they would only allow for 2 players, or if you wanted 4 players, you would have to buy 2 starter sets. This starter set will have 4 playable decks. Actually, it'll have 5 playable decks. We'll get to that in a second, but it will all come self-contained for a $60 price point. I believe the release date was October, so coming right up.
Yep.
The core set will contain 5 characters, and they are Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, Iron Man, and She-Hulk, and I am pissed, because how do you release a friggin' Marvel game without Captain America in it? And Evan knows my thoughts. I was visibly upset during the presentation. The good news is that they will be introducing Cap within a month or two of release, because there will be 3 types of expansion packs coming out for the game. There will be hero packs, scenario packs, and campaign expansions. And each of those will add, you know, different playable heroes, different villains, different storylines to play through. And they're going to be really aggressive with their release schedule, which they are for all of their LCG games. But there's going to be new packs coming out every month through February already. So I think we get Cap before Christmas.
I think it's November. I think they've already announced it.
I think the first one was Cap.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a co-op LCG. If you've ever played any of their LCGs, like Lord of the Rings is a really good example. That's another co-op LCG. It's going to be along those lines. Very challenging. You have to work together. But every hero will have a unique deck to them with unique abilities that will feel like that hero. I'm very excited about this game. Evan, what are your thoughts on it?
So my initial thoughts were excitement. But I'm not a huge LCG guy. Like I don't own any. I will play them if my friends have them for sure. But my thought when they announced this, and especially with announcements that we'll be talking about in a little bit, my thought was I'm not going to get this. I'll let Derek get it and then I'll play it. But then I started doing a little research for the pod and I was writing up our notes here and I was like, man, this sounds really fun. And I don't know. I don't think I'm going to get it right away, but man, I could see myself getting this eventually. So,
oh yeah. And it's a game too that you don't have to get it right away. They're going to support this game for years and years. They're still putting out monthly packs for Lord of the Rings LCG and what that came out in 2013 or before that even. So they, if it's popular, they will support it for a long time. And I guarantee you this will be popular.
Yeah. I think that the way that they're doing the, like your character, the hero you play as has two sides to the card. One is their hero side and one's their like secret identity side. And I don't quite know what the mechanics are behind that, but there's going to be some way that like the side that's up is makes a difference and stuff like that. And I don't know. I'm just really excited to explore the Marvel universe with that. I think it sounds really thematic and sounds great.
Well, one of the cool mechanics is like, so every hero has a deck, right? And they have all these abilities that are specific to them. Well, they also have a villain that's specific to them in their deck that will like, so like with Spider-Man, Vulture will be in his deck. And if you flip a Vulture card, the Vulture's popped up and done something to distract you from the main villain. Like you might be fighting Red Skull or something with everybody else, but the Vulture's popped up and just is messing with Spidey and trying to do something. And so you have to deal with Vulture before you can go back to dealing with Red Skull. And every hero will have a villain like that, that pops up from time to time. It's pretty thematic, you know, like in every comic, you know, you have that one villain that keeps coming back and popping up and is just a nuisance. And, I thought that was a pretty cool little thematic thing.
Yeah, that is cool. The other thing that they're doing with that one is that I don't quite know how this works, but you have you assign each hero like an attribute or I don't know, some sort of adjective in front of them, and that determines the card pool they can draw from. So you can play as like a justice oriented Spider-Man who is all about justice, and then the cards that you pick from are like the justice pack, and that's how you build your deck for Spider-Man. But then you can, the next time you play, you can do a different attribute for him, and so your deck is completely different. So I thought that sounded cool too.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, moving on was the final announcement from Fantasy Flight. Although it didn't come from Fantasy Flight themselves, we got an announcement of a new game studio called Atomic Mass Games that will be under the Asmodee umbrella. And they announced Marvel Crisis Protocol, which is a skirmish miniatures game set in the Marvel universe. And I think Evan and I about pooped our pants when they announced this game. the whole arena about pooped their pants. They put these minis up on the screen It was just like, whoa. So this is the Atomic Mass Games, brand new company, was revealed at the show. They hadn't been able to say anything. Brand new minis game. It's set to release Q4 of this year. The miniatures will come unpainted and unassembled. They're going to come in little pieces that you're going to have to glue together and then paint. They are the 40mm scale. They're going to be a little bigger than other miniatures games, but they wanted that. They wanted the minis to feel big and heroic. Players will each bring a roster of 10 characters as well as a few objective cards. And then you'll combine your objective cards to determine the scenario. Then once you pick the scenario, you can select characters based on the point limit of the scenario, which is cool. So you have your squad of 10. And then depending on the scenario, like if you need a lot of fast, sneaky characters, you can pick out four or five of those sneaky characters. Or if you need brute strength, you can pick out the Hulk. But the Hulk is also going to have a really big point buy because he's a big threat. Terrain's going to play a large role in the game. Characters such as the Hulk are going to be able to pick up and throw terrain at their enemies, like cars, newsstands, even smaller buildings. Especially, I keep talking about the Hulk, but they were really focused on him and all the cool things he could do. He could pick up a car and hurl a car at Red Skull, and that's so cool in a mini game. You really feel like the hero. There's no restrictions to the rosters, so heroes and villains can team up. However, using characters from the same team like the Avengers can give you certain benefits. The core set is going to be $100 MSRP and contain Captain America, Iron Man, Black Widow, Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, Baron Zemo, Red Skull, Crossbones, Doc Ock, and Ultron. It will also contain a lot of terrain. And this is not just like Warhammer starter set terrain where it's just cardboard cutouts. This is like legit, like cars, buildings, very nice terrain. I was pretty impressed with the MSRP on this. They didn't announce it at the show, and we were looking at the models later. And when I saw it was $100, I was very excited and relieved because I was worried this was going to be $150 or more for this game. The minis look incredible. The paint job that they had on them obviously was amazing, but just even unpainted, the minis were amazing. I'm rambling. Evan, what are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I'm probably just gonna ramble too. I came out of this as excited or more excited as I was for Keyforge last year. So I'm really glad that FFG is gonna have something for me every year that I need to buy. But I can't wait. I've been thinking about getting into another miniatures game. And I almost got into Legion, and I was looking at some of the Warhammer ones. This settles it. I am going to get into this. It looks really cool. The mechanics seem really cool. This one also has an idea or a sense of like the secret identity, but it's used for list building. So like I could have two Spider-Mans on my team as long as they're different versions of Spider-Man, Peter Parker and, you know, somebody else.
Miles Morales, come on.
Sure, yeah. Sorry. I put myself on the spot.
Yeah, you did.
I was going to try to let it slide, but didn't happen. All right, so anyway, I don't know. I don't know what else to say, really. I think it sounds great. I think the price sounds pretty good. I will say that the price for the expansions was maybe a little high. Like, I know the Hulk is going to be $35 just for all you get in that pack is the Hulk and whatever cards go with him, but at the same time, I look at games like X-Wing or the Warhammer games or whatever, and I'm only going to buy one Hulk or at least one Bruce Banner Hulk, right? It's not like right. I'm not going to buy, you know, because the last X-Wing expansion
you're
I bought.
Of Hulks. Yeah, you can't have Hulks.
Right. So I get it. And the miniatures are nice. They're hard plastic. We got to hold one for a little bit. I think, you know, I think it's going to be worth it. And I'm really excited to see where this one goes.
I think the nice thing too is that it's a skirmish-based game, so you're not going to have to buy that many minis. I mean, you still probably will, but you don't have to field a whole army, which is nice. One other thing, as far as like the thematic and rules go, that I thought was neat is like take Cap for example. If Cap gets knocked out, he falls flat on the ground, he loses all of his energy and his HP and everything, and then at the end of the round, he gets set back up and you flip his card to the injured side and Cap gets tankier once he's injured. He then has an ability that says I can do this all day. Which is awesome. Right. And every hero has that injured side. Some of them get weaker. Some of them are strong to start. And once they've been knocked down, once they get weaker, but some of them get beefy. I mean, I didn't get to see it, but I can't imagine what Hulk's injured side is going to look like. Oh, he's going to be insane, you know? So I thought that was really cool and thematic. And a lot of the abilities and stuff are little like jokes and nods to the characters in the comics. And this is going to be a home run.
Yeah. And the gameplay sounds really cool too. Like the fact that you have three different varieties of attacks and defense that are like physical, energy and like mental or mystic. So I think that that fits great with the Marvel universe. I mean, that means we're going to see guys like Doctor Strange coming up. I mean, obviously with Marvel, the possibilities are pretty limitless as to what characters we see. So really looking forward to this one. We don't have a definitive release date, but it's going to be, they say fall of this year. So that's coming up.
It's coming right up. Yeah, we could talk about this one all day, but we should probably move on.
Yeah, we're still talking about our first event. So
yep.
Oh, I can't wait to go in with on this one with you guys. So that's my two cents.
Nice. All right. Well, let's move on then. So that was the Fantasy Flight in Flight report, and it was awesome. I'm glad we got to go. So the next day, what did we do the next day? We mostly hit the vendor hall, right?
Yeah, the next day we started out in the vendor hall. We went and ran, and Evan and I bought probably 75% of our games right off the bat and then carried them around with us the rest of the day.
As is tradition.
They were heavy. You
know, which, it's a necessary situation. I mean, it sucks, but like if you want those hot releases, you have to go and get them.
You got to get on it.
Right, so we then lugged probably a good 50 pounds of games each around the rest of the day. I mean, at least. Everdell, man, that thing weighed me down.
Yeah.
Ugh. But then we headed to our escape room. So this was my first escape room I've ever done. Evan is an escape room veteran. So this was my first one. And it was called Into the Dragon's Lair, which I thought was going to be a really cool theme. So we get in there, and instead of a normal one-hour escape room, a traditional escape room, this was broken into four different rooms that lasted 15 minutes, which was I thought it was pretty cool, and it also allowed the company to cycle way more people through because they could start a new group every 15 minutes, which was super smart. But yeah, so we get into the first, or we walk in, and they come up to us and they say, you know, our DM has gone missing. He made up this new campaign for us to play through, but now we can't find him. We need your help finding him. So we walk into the first room, and it is straight out of Mike's basement from Stranger Things. It is the most 80s basement you've ever seen. There's wood paneling on the walls. There's an old console TV. There's a microwave for Hot Pockets. There's a little poker table set up for D&D. And so we have to go through, and we're finding all of these different D20s. And once we set them all on the table lights up, and we've passed. But then the TV changes and opens up, and all of these game controllers fall out. And so each one, like there's a Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, all the like an Atari joystick. There's a Super Scope, a gun. There's a Power Glove. So everybody is on one of the peripherals, and we have to all navigate as one through this video game. And we ended up unlocking this sword that was supposed to help us in the last room, but we kind of forgot about, and we didn't do anything with it. We just carried it around and looked cool the whole time.
Yeah, well,
But no, I mean, the whole thing was so cool. That first room was my favorite part. It was so thematic and neat, but yeah, we went through the whole escape room. It was a fantastic experience. I keep telling everybody this, but that is everything I wanted True Dungeon to be. I was disappointed overall, I think, by True Dungeon, and this escape room was everything I wanted that to be. I had a ton of fun. I think everybody did. It was a lot of puzzles and theme, and yeah, I had a great time. Did you enjoy it, Evan?
Yeah, I did. I've done a few escape rooms before, and this one, I think as far as theme and stuff like that goes, is my favorite. Maybe as far as like pure puzzles go, it's not my favorite, but I don't know. I mean, I'm super impressed with the fact that this is a mobile setup that they have. Like they set it up before the con, and they had to tear it down and take it away after the con. So I was really impressed with that. The coolest part for me was the third room, we got sent to jail. We messed with a storekeeper and he got mad and sent us to jail. So they split us up. They split our group into two, and we were each put into a different cell in jail. And we could communicate to each other, but we couldn't really like see into the other room. And we couldn't, there were little openings so we could pass like little stuff, but we couldn't do a whole lot. So what was really cool is, like, obviously Derek and I were on separate rooms, and so, like, the stuff in my room was clues to Derek's room, so we had to communicate a bunch. And then there were also little things like, at one point the jailer came into Derek's room and was asking for a bribe. And so we're like, oh, we have these coins over here. So we gathered up the coins on our side and we passed them over to Derek's side, and they bribed the jailer with those coins. And then another cool thing was that, like, Derek had this chain, and he's like, I have this chain, I don't know what to do with it, but there's a little hole. And I was like, okay, well, pass it through. So he passed it through to me. And then I looked around and I saw there was a place where I could fish out a key from the wall. There's a little hole in the wall, and I could stick the chain down there and fish out a key. And that key later opened up something else in the room. So overall, it was super fun. Hopefully, if you're planning on playing it, I just told you a bunch of the stuff, so sorry. But anyway, I really enjoyed it. It was really fun.
It was awesome. Yep.
All right. So then, was that it
for Thursday afternoon? Yeah. And then Thursday night, we headed to the Stronghold Games Rock and Roll and Write launch party, where we got to play 5 Roll and Write games, which is Evan's favorite activity.
Mm-hmm.
That was so convincing.
Yeah.
No, I had a good time. I think we played two great games, one okay game and one meh game. We didn't get to play the fifth one. But yeah, I think there were two really strong games there, and that was Twice as Clever and Encore. Those were definitely the standouts. In fact, the last game we played was Dizzled, and I didn't really care about that one. But whoever won that game got to take the copy of Dizzled. And so we asked the lady, we were like, we would rather have Encore. And so she went and, like, swapped it out with a different table. So we got to take a copy of Encore, which was nice. But yeah, I had a good time. Stephen Bonacore is always super fun at these things. He's the owner of Stronghold Games. And so he really goes all out for these launch parties. One year they were launching Flamme Rouge, and he showed up on a mountain bike in full, like, biking spandex. and so this year it was the Rock and Roll and Write. So he was Elton Johnacore.
Yes.
And he got up and sang karaoke, and he sang 3 songs, and he probably only should have sang 1 song. But that's okay. He had a great time, and we did too. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't hate Roll and Writes. I've said it before, but they're just not my favorite. I had a good time. I definitely like the two that you mentioned, Derek. I almost bought Encore. I was going to buy Roll and Write just because I didn't have one before Gen Con, and that one was almost the one I bought. I ended up buying a different one, which I've already mentioned, so it was welcome to. So, but yeah, it was good. It was a fun time.
Well, then the next day, Evan and I had our mini painting class, which we were both excited about. I've been trying to get into a mini painting class at Gen Con for 4 years now, and finally got into one. And the instructor we had was awesome.
Yes.
We got a 2-hour window. He talked us through everything. He alleviated any fears. He really broke it down. And I had a great time, Evan. I mean, obviously you did too, because you've now bought a mini set.
Yep.
But I did not think I could do it. You know what I mean? I'm not the most artistic. I just don't have that kind of skill or brain power. And it was so relaxing while we were painting. And it was so easy to break it down into, you really don't have to be this incredible painter. You just have to pay attention a little bit to some details, and the paint does the rest of the work. There is enough techniques that can cover up any little imperfections, and all you want is something that you can be proud of on the table. It doesn't have to be, you know, to the professional standard. And it was awesome. I had a great time at the painting class.
Yeah, I really did too. This was for me the best part of Gen Con, probably. It's hard to pick one thing, but I really, really liked this. And, you know, I just echo what you say. Like, I've always shied away from it because I'm not very artistic. I don't have the vision, I guess, to see, you know, like, when I look at a gray miniature, I can't look at it and say, like, oh, this should be green and this should be yellow and blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I mean, you just kind of, for me, it was just, the instructor was really helpful. It's kind of like, just go with it. If it doesn't look good, you can paint over it. And if you make a mistake, if you paint, you know, if you if you're trying to paint the guy's spear and you get some brown on his arm, just go back and paint over it. It's not a big deal. And yeah, I mean, he just taught us a few simple techniques, and obviously you can get into it a lot more and get more advanced techniques, but like Derek said, to get it looking decent and table worthy, it's really not that bad. And I liked it so much, as I mentioned before, I bought this set. I painted a miniature last night. If time permits, I might do another one tonight. We'll see. So I loved it, and I encourage anybody who's thought about it at all that's listening, just check it out. Maybe check out that kit that Derek and I have. I think that does a pretty good job of breaking things down. I loved it. It was a great time.
Yeah, Nick bought the kit too. So I think all three of us that did that painting class have this, now have the Reaper starter kit, and we're all really excited to get going on it and try it out. Well, after our mini painting class, we kind of hit the convention center again. And then in the afternoon, we went to Dice Tower Live. So for those of you not aware, the Dice Tower is like the name in board game podcasts and reviews. And they do a live podcast from Gen Con every year, which is one of the highlights for us. And Evan, this was your first time at Dice Tower Live. You've kind of started to listen to their podcasts or their videos, though, right?
Yeah, I've listened to their top 10 for a while, but I've never listened to any of their other stuff, but I've started to a little bit more now.
Nice, nice. Well, yeah, it was a great time. They always put on a show. We did get a few exciting announcements during Dice Tower. So they partner with some different companies to announce their new games and their new projects they're working on. So the first one was called Key to the Kingdom from Restoration Games. And so this is an old adventure board game where you find portals, which are actually just holes in the board. And then you fold the board in different ways to reveal a whole new world that you then step through the portal and explore, which is such a cool idea. And they've modernized the game. They're going to have new mechanics and everything. I should mention the artist is Andrew Bosley, who also did the art for Everdell and now Tapestry. And it looks really cool. He's kind of the hot name now, I guess, in the board game art world. Yeah. So yeah, that's Key to the Kingdom. So it should be coming soon.
They had him come up on stage. He was there. So, And then you can find that online. So if you're interested in watching that, it's worth to go back and take a look at this whole show that they did. It was pretty good. So sorry. Yeah. Anyway, continue on.
The next announcement from Restoration Games was last year they announced Return to the Dark Tower, which the Dark Tower is another old board game that had this tower in the center that made noise and light lit up and everything. And so they've tried to remake it and make it a really good game. Isaac Childress, who designed Gloomhaven, is working on this game. Who else was on it, Evan? Was Rob Davio in it too?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember the other, but I know Isaac was on it. And they are redoing the Dark Tower to be called Return to the Dark Tower. And they poured tons of money into the development of this central tower, and it looks really cool. We got to see some of the schematics and thinking behind it. And so it's going to link up to an app on your phone, and the tower will have lights, sound, movement, and will even shoot out resources. So you will be putting resource cubes into the tower, and there will be little locking mechanisms and gears working in the tower. And at different points, depending on what's going on in the game, it will shoot resources out based on the different scenarios and stuff. It looks really cool, but it's also most likely going to mean a hefty price tag on that one. So that's Return to the Dark Tower. We still don't have a time frame on either of these games. But next up, Come On and Eric Lang announced the final game in his Blood Rage and Rising Sun trilogy that will be called Ankh, God of Egypt. So you're going to play as a god in ancient Egypt and will be trying to recruit followers. If your followers all die or stop believing, you will fade from existence. Kind of like American Gods, if you've read that. The minis look incredible. The god minis, like, so your actual miniature is massive, and they'll be much bigger than the rest of the minis in the game, which is really cool that, like, instead of building up to the end game where you get the big mini, you get to start and be the big mini from the get-go, which is awesome. Yeah. So it seems pretty cool. Lang also said that it would use mechanics that we haven't seen in Blood Rage and Rising Sun, that it would be something all new. So yeah, it has me intrigued. The minis are they had them up for a display at after the show, and wow, they look good.
Yeah, they really do. And I don't know. I'm not a huge fan. Well, I like Rising Sun quite a bit. I haven't been a huge fan of Blood Rage, and Rising Sun is okay. So I don't know. This one has me intrigued, I think, the most out of those three, just as far as the theme goes. I think the theme sounds really cool, and also the idea of, yeah, like you said, if you stop having followers, you fade away or whatever. So I'm excited to see where this one goes.
Yep. And then finally, we got an announcement from Stronghold Games. Flamme Rouge Grand Tour will be coming. So this is going to offer a campaign mode, kind of like thematically like the Tour de France, that will take place over multiple stages. So you'll have a multi-stage kind of a campaign game for Flamme Rouge. It's also going to offer new terrain and specialist bikers that will add certain cards to your deck. I highly recommend Flamme Rouge if you've never played it. Super good time. I love that game. And this is a pretty cool thematically to do kind of the Tour de France theme on this one. So there was no release date on that yet either. Or maybe next spring, was it, Evan?
I don't remember. It was 2020 sometime, probably early-ish. Yep.
So sometime next year we will see this one. But yeah, so that was... that was pretty much it from Dice Tower Live, but it was a great time. We spent the rest of Friday just kind of hanging out, drinking, playing board games. It was a good time. Evan, do you want to talk about your time on Saturday?
Sure. Well, I'm going to go off script here for a second. Okay. First of all, okay. On Saturday, the last 2 years that I've gone to Gen Con, I don't know if you did this before or not, Derek, but we have gotten... Some of the guys in our group play Pokemon Go. So we got like six of us together and we went downtown Indianapolis and did some raids before any of the events started. And that was a pretty good time for Derek and I. We were both able to snag a shiny Rayquaza. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Rayquaza. Okay. Yes. So we were both really pumped about that. Plus, one of the guys had a spare Mewtwo that he traded me, so I was able to finish my Kanto Pokedex, which I've been trying to do for a very long time.
Yay!
That was fun.
Yeah, and I got traded a shiny Lapras, so I was also very excited. Mm,
yes. So the day started off pretty good, and from there, it was Gen Con, so it's always going to be a good day. But for me, I had an X-Wing tournament, and that also started off pretty good. I won my first game, but from there, it did not go quite as well. I don't know. I was struggling all, Derek can attest to this. I was struggling even at Gen Con of what list I was going to take. I brought several choices with me and I was going back and forth even the night before about what I was going to use the next day. And so I went with something that I had done before, but was slightly modified because they had changed the points some. So I had to adjust accordingly. But anyway, I don't know. I was just kind of, I felt like I wasn't in the best mindset for it. Like I was distracted by the con and I almost wanted to get out of there and meet up with Derek and explore the vendor hall some more. So, I won the first game and was feeling pretty good about it. But then the second two, I got beat pretty bad on both of them. So at that point, it's scheduled to be a 7-game day and, I'd played 3 and we were just getting to lunch break at like 2 or whatever it was. And then after an hour lunch break, there were 4 more games. And I decided I didn't really want to do that when I was there. I wanted to take advantage of what was going to be my last day at the convention and with the vendor hall. So I dropped and I don't know. I mean, I still had a fun time. I still think it was worth the entry fee and everything, but I think next year, if I go again, I probably won't do the big tournament. One of the things that I kind of ran into is I talked to my opponents as I was playing with them and they're like, yeah, I'm from, Indianapolis or Cincinnati. And we brought 10 guys here and 5 of them are usually in the top 16 of the events that they do and stuff like that. And it's like, well, my local scene is about 5 people and one of them does pretty well regularly. So it's just the level of competition is just different. And I feel like, I don't know, I've kind of started to accept that I don't think I'm ever going to be that high of an X-Wing player. And I will always love it on a casual level, but I might start scaling back the tournament scene. So we'll see. But all in all, it was a good time. But after that, I met up with Derek, and we continued to walk around the vendor hall. And we stayed there probably about until it closed, right, Derek?
Yeah, we pretty much closed the vendor hall down, and then we went and did community day for Pogo. You got some shiny Ralts. I did not. That's fine. Whatever. I'm not bitter. I'd rather have my shiny Rayquaza anyway. It's okay.
Yeah.
But and that kind of closed out the con for us.
One more thing.
Oh, go ahead.
As we were closing out the vendor hall, we stopped by the Crisis Protocol area one more time, and they had a guy there that was painting.
We frequented the Crisis Protocol.
Yes,
area.
We did.
If you can't imagine.
But there was a guy there just sitting down painting. He had a little setup. He was one of the employees of Atomic Mass. And so we went and talked to him for a while. And it turns out, I don't know if I even told you this, Derek, but he's actually the lead designer on the miniatures. He designed all the miniatures, or at least led the design.
Oh, wow. He's the artist. He's the sculptor, too, then.
Yeah, yeah. So, and he's a very good painter. He worked for Privateer Press.
Yeah, he worked on, he was like a big wig at Privateer Press and War Machine. And so that was pretty cool. He left Privateer Press to come help found Atomic Mass Games.
Yeah, and he was a super nice guy. He just kind of walked us through what he was doing. And we told him, like, oh, yeah, we took our first painting class yesterday and we're super excited about this game. We're a little apprehensive about the painting. And he's like, you know, just go for it. He's like, you see these in the case. These were ones that I did when I was being paid and I spent hours and hours and hours on them, but you don't need to do that. He held up another one. He's like, this is one that you just do in a couple hours and it looks good from the table. And so I don't know. He was a really nice guy. He was really encouraging. So that coupled with the class is what really, I think, drove us both to want to get into
painting. He gave us a really nice pep talk. It was really nice. So shout out to Dallas.
Yes. If he hears this. All right. Well, that's about all we did as far as things in the vendor hall or at the convention. Of course, we played some of the games we bought and things like that. I don't know. Do we want to give a quick rundown of the games that we bought? We've kind of already mentioned it, but.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be going to be playing these games in the future and we can take a deeper dive into the mechanics and stuff. But, you know, we got to play a Draftosaurus, Planet, Era, Point Salad, Bargain Quest. We played quite a few games. Evan and I got a game of Lanterns Dice in. Mm-hmm. You know, we played quite a few games. I don't know if we need to dive into them right now. But we got a lot of gaming in, which some people complain about Gen Con. They say you don't get much gaming in, but we definitely, back at the hotel, got a lot of games in.
Yeah, I had a good time with that. I know that, and I think some of it is the difference in between you and I. Like, Derek, you like to look around the hall and stuff like that, and I do too, but for me, I like playing the games a lot, and not to say you don't, but I think we found a nice, happy balance where you got to see all the hall, and I got to play a bunch of games, and we both had a really good time with that, so I was really happy with that.
This was my favorite Gen Con yet. This was the best one, so I think all the events... were perfect. I found the right balance of events that I wanted to do, and I just had a great time.
Yeah. And I guess that about wraps it up.
Ryan, are you still alive?
I am still alive. I've just been enjoying listening to your guys' recap. It's actually been quite a bit of info that you guys have gone over that I don't remember maybe discussing, and I know there's a lot that you guys had, and I tried to not read too far ahead into our notes to make it be like I was listening and being a part of the story. And I will say, I'm sorry, Derek, I was laughing when you were talking about the no cap because I was reading the notes and it put Derek is not happy in all caps.
Yeah, I put that in there because I'm not happy.
It was really difficult not to burst out laughing.
Ryan, did we convince you?
I am convinced to back this game. I'm very ready to be a part of it. I've also been wanting to be a part of a mini game, but like none of the themes have ever of the games themselves have ever really been something I'm interested in. But obviously, Marvel is something that we can all get on board with and fulfill our desire to play a miniature game.
Yeah. Well, we'll have more on that as it comes out. Hopefully, we'll get some info, but. I think that about wraps it up for what we've got here. Hopefully you enjoyed our retelling of Gen Con. I know we had a great time there and looking forward to it again next year already. So You know, now that the Gen Con season has passed, we're going to be looking for things to talk about. So if you have any suggestions, let us know. We've gotten a couple of good suggestions in the last couple of weeks, so we love seeing those. Keep them coming. We want to make sure we're giving you content that you want. Follow us on the social media. You know, if you want to see some pictures of everything that we did at Gen Con, we've got all that up. Derek was really good about getting everything up on Instagram, so check that out.
Shout out to Sid, our social media manager. Woo!
Yes, for sure. We were bombarding her with text during the FFG report.
It was constant. It was constant.
So I've heard.
Yep. All right, so check those out. You know, let us know if there's anything else that we can talk about. And again, we appreciate you listening. I was blown away by some of the numbers and everything. So I mentioned in the last podcast, we haven't decided yet, but we are going to be hoping to do something to celebrate 1,000 downloads. We haven't forgot about that. So just stick with us there. And, you know, until next time, we hope you have a good couple weeks and we will catch you next time. Uh-huh.